The New Testament reading from the Acts that we shall hear a bit later on is about the early church and how they built up that community and sharing things. And when I was, looking through what we were talking about for today, we looked at the Methodist, the mission statement on the front of your newsletter, and it says there that Easingworld Methodist Church is a Christ-centered community who seek to know and love him and to make him known to all. Our calling is to worship the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to grow and develop as his disciples, and to serve him in the local community and wider world. A generous community, sharing that love with each other and beyond. We, together, are a generous Christ-centered community. We, together, are Easter people. Christ is risen. Alleluia. The tomb is empty. Alleluia. God is with us, deep within and alongside us. Alleluia. We are Easter people. Alleluia. Christ is risen. Alleluia. So the prayers and some of the ideas and the thoughts that we're sharing, Evelyn, Daniel, Carol and myself, we started off by sharing the information that was in the Roots magazine. So some of these first prayers are from them. So let's have our opening prayer, and we will ask you to join in the prayer of approach shortly. Let us pray. Eternal, ever-living, ever-loving God, your word binds us together in a common life, a common aim, a common way. You are generous beyond words in giving your Son, Jesus, giving your Son to us. And that gift still amazes us and makes us stand in awe and wonder. That you call us all, no matter who we are and where we are from, amazes us and brings us to this point in our lives when we stop to worship and adore you here today. Eternal, ever-living, ever-loving God, we adore you. Come, all who are in need, all who are lonely. Come, young and old, and everyone in between. Come if you are hurting and healthy, weary or happy. Come, whether you're joyful or sad. Come to the grace giver, the one who welcomes us home. Come and worship our God. So let's join in the words on the screen. We gather together, dear God, as a mixed-up bunch of folk who come to worship you. Apart from our commitment to you, we may not have much in common, but here in this place we are together as one, your worshipping people. Accept our worship, speak to us, guide us and lead us, for your name's sake. Amen. So now we'll stand, if you can, to sing 317, At the Name of Jesus. The words on the screen in bold. For our greed and self-centeredness, for our failure to see the needs of those around us,
Lord, forgive us.
For our failure to be generous with our time, for our failure to share when we have more than enough,
Lord, forgive us.
For our failure to see that often our lifestyle choices harm others and can push them to the margins where their contributions are forgotten. For our failure to love as you have loved us. For these and all our failings,
Lord, forgive us. Amen.
As we sit for our next prayer, hold your hands clenched as if you're hanging on to something tightly. And as you pray, let them go and uncurl gently and lift them up. Holding tight. Dear Jesus, you intended for us to share all things. Sometimes we hold on too tightly to things and keep them to ourselves. We are sorry. Help us to share all that we have with others around us. In your name, amen.
Amen.
The Lord our God is merciful and kind to all, and says to each one of us who has confessed their sins, failings, and shortcomings, "My child, I love you. I live with you. Your sins are forgiven." Amen. A prayer of thanks from Psalm 136. Let us give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. We give thanks to the God of gods, to the Lord of lords, for his Easter love, for his creation love, for his amazing love. Creator God, we thank you for the great wonders you alone have done, for the understanding with which you created the heavens and spread out the earth on the waters. We thank you for the great lights, the sun to rule over the day, and the moon and stars to rule over the night. O God of the heavens and of the earth and of the communities within, we give you thanks. Your steadfast love endures forever. So let's sing again of that love. Christ is alive, 297. Our celebration of Easter continues. Luke gives a description of life in the new community, the new Christian community. No one claimed exclusive ownership of possessions or wealth. Everything was held in common. Property and land were sold to make sure no one was in need and supported by this. The apostles were able to preach, then free to preach that powerful message of the risen Christ. The description of the early church in Jerusalem in Acts is both attractive and challenging. Although our context is different, it does not prevent us from recapturing some of that vibrant generosity that we find in the church and its outreach. At a time when so many suffer from insecurity, economic anxiety and loneliness, we need to continue to show that generosity, that we can welcome and have a generous faith, one that listens and cares and acts and engages with people wherever they are. So let's hear a little bit more of the generosity of that early church in our reading from Acts 4.
Acts chapter 4, verses 32 to 35. The believers share their possessions. The group of believers was one in mind and heart. No one said that any of his belongings was his own, but they all shared with one another everything they had. With great power and apostles, they gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God poured rich blessings on them all. There was no one in the group who was in need. Those who owned fields or houses would sell them, bring the money received from the sale, and hand it over to the apostles. And the money was distributed to each one according to his need.
community. What does community mean to you? What are the characteristics of community, or the characteristics of an individual who is generous in community spirit? I'm going to listen to a video now of Barack Obama talking about Nelson Mandela. And think on that word, community.
And finally, Mandela understood the ties that bind the human spirit. There's a word in South Africa, Ubuntu. A word that captures Mandela's greatest gift. His recognition that we are all bound together in ways that are invisible to the eye. That there's a oneness to humanity. That we achieve ourselves by sharing ourselves with others and caring for those around us. We can never know how much of this sense was innate in him or how much was shaped in a dark and solitary cell. But we remember the gestures, large and small, introducing his jailers as honored guests at his inauguration, taking a pitch in a Springbok uniform, turning his family's heartbreak into a call to confront HIV/AIDS, that revealed the depths of his empathy and his understanding. He not only embodied Ubuntu, he taught millions to find that truth within themselves. It took a man like Madiba to free not just the prisoner, but the jailer as well. To show that you must trust others so that they may trust you. To teach that reconciliation is not a matter of ignoring a cruel past, but a means of confronting it with inclusion and generosity and truth. He changed laws, but he also changed hearts.
Ubuntu, community, changing laws and changing hearts, much the same way that Jesus lived and his disciples were encouraged to too. And so are we. So let's sing again, 685, In Christ There Is No East Nor West. I should have said thank you at the beginning to Tom and Peter for all the time and effort they've taken to find the tracks and the videos and the clips and put them together. And Daniel was going to help them, but he didn't make it. So maybe another day he can come and share in some of the joys and frustrations of finding the right tunes and the things that feel right for what we're talking about. Another example then, in many ways, of the generous community that we've got here. Take a moment to think about that word that Barack Obama used to describe Mandela's greatest gift. A deep and practical understanding that we're all bound together in ways that are invisible to the eye. Ubuntu. Carol writes, a popular translation of Ubuntu is I am because I am because we are. I am because we are. As Obama stated, there is a oneness to humanity that we achieve ourselves only by sharing ourselves with others and caring for those around us. Apparently, there are five key values to Ubuntu: survival, solidarity of spirit, compassion, respect, and dignity. Survival is making sure everyone has what they need, not necessarily what they want, what they need. The early church did not store up anything. If someone was in need, another member of the church would give them what they needed. They would share. They believed that everything belonged to everybody, which I can imagine is quite a challenge when we stop to think about the stuff that we have around us. Share this, but that's special to me. Share that? Oh, it took me a long time to save up for that. Oh, I don't know if I could share. But maybe if we stop and care, that sharing begins. And sometimes once you start sharing, it multiplies. But that is normal. That is the spirit of solidarity, sharing things together, living and being together. No one was in need, and so everyone maintained their dignity and respected each other. As Easter people, how do we create Ubuntu? A church community which shows God's love and generosity to others. How do we do that in our worship? I've mentioned some of those things already. In our outreach, in our pastoral care, in our daily lives. As Jocelyn mentioned earlier, we have practiced that here. The last 2 weeks, 10 days. I don't think we even had 2 weeks' notice. We got an email asking us to provide accommodation for a group of pilgrims in your church hall. Floor space will do. We'll provide everything else. So we started this little communication with these people and began to sort of thinking, well, we could offer accommodation in the hall if this and this and this were in place. We got a kitchen. There is tea and coffee. We could do if, but in the event, the accommodation wasn't required because they found somebody else who had home space. So they had a home to stay in, somebody's home to stay in, and a meal that they provided. Although we were talking about doing a shared meal here to show some of our hospitality gifts, they had a meal elsewhere. But what they wanted as well was a space to share, a space to share their pilgrimage story. This amazing coat of hopes, we hung it on the board in the hall, and well, even sort of on the board it was up here, and then the cloak itself sort of spread out on the floor all the way around, made up of lots of little patchworks. And each patchwork picture has been added to that coat since it journeyed to COP back in 2021. And this coat has walked many, many places with small groups of pilgrims accompanying it on each stage. So there's a community of coat pilgrims that's around the country, different people joining in different places, new people joining that walk. And on Friday evening, as Jocelyn said, we were encouraged to put that coat on. And the first thing you noticed was just how heavy it was. Because when you stood, you had two or three other people holding up the ends of it, and bits of it were pinned to yourself as well, so that you just didn't trail it in the mud behind. But that weight is a symbol of the responsibility that each of its wearers have for climate justice, for changing the story. Each of the patches is a story, a voice of somebody, a voice of a community, telling something about injustices or their hopes for new justice. And when you took the coat off, you realised just how warm you had been, that warmth of hope, that warmth of love and hospitality. And so the Coat of Hopes continues its journey. Some people joined it in Shipton yesterday when it arrived there. So we talk about the coat arriving. The people wearing the coat, they wear it all the time, but they take it in turns until it arrives. Today is walking from Shipton to York, and then we'll be in York for a little while the pilgrim teams change over and do some planning of their next leg of the journey towards Nottingham, I think. So they've been up and down the country, and they just go wherever the hospitality takes them. But I looked up on the website, and when I was sort of looking at this, what they were about and what this pilgrimage was about, it reminded me quite a lot of this concept of Ubuntu. By sharing this coat, each person might wear the promise that we all belong together. As we seek to respond with our whole self to climate and ecological emergencies around us, we can share the warmth and the responsibility that goes with caring for God's creation. We're all connected as travellers on different journeys. Sometimes our journeys overlap, and sometimes our journeys go apart. Sometimes we're on parallel tracks and never really link up at the right time, a bit like trains getting to different stations. I had not really thought I would be relinquishing my role here quite so soon, but personal things, family things, I just couldn't keep going the way things were. I'm going to miss you all. So thank you very much for all your prayers, your welcome, the sharing of your concerns, your hospitality, and your generosity in trusting me with so much. I hope I've just been able to do a little bit in return to help there. So we can continue to pray for each other, that we continue to grow in that love and trust, and give thanks to God for those hidden treasures that we find on our overlapping journeys. Ubuntu, sharing times, sharing treasures, sharing journeys. Carol writes, "The spirit of Ubuntu is here around me this week. I am in need. I am unwell. But others are helping me. Daniel is making the tea. Alistair washed up and fed the hedgehogs before he went to work. Evelyn is going to help me with the dogs later. We may not live in a perfect home. We may not be part of a perfect church or a perfect community, but it's always amazing the way in which people care and share. How do we reach out to the community in our pastoral care? What else is God calling us to do, to be with him as part of God's generous community? How do we take that spirit of Ubuntu from here and out and within each other? We'll listen now to a song by Matthew West, which reflects on the different ways people care and share things. The song is called Do Something. But remember to... I created you. If not us, then who? If not me and you right now, then who? Well, it's time to do something. We are the one. We're never going to change the world by standing still. We're never going to change the world if we don't be God's people. Ubuntu, we are a generous Christ-centered community. We are Easter people. Hallelujah. We will do. We will be. We come to our time of intercessions, but we'll start by singing, Bind Us Together, Lord. Bind us together in love. You can remain seated or stand as you wish. Our prayers have come from Evelyn and Daniel. When you hear loving God, please join in the response. Hear our prayer. Loving God, hear our prayer. Lord God, we pray for this church, that we may have the spirit of Ubuntu here, that we may help those in need. Loving God, hear our prayer. Almighty God, remember there are many places in the world where the spirit of Ubuntu is needed. We pray for so many places. We pray for their political and community leaders. We pray for the social groups that hold each other and keep things shared. Loving God, hear our prayer. Healing Father, bless those who are sick or hurting. We name them in our hearts. Open our ears and help us to offer the right support and care as they require. Loving God, hear our prayers. Father God, may we be your church, be your people. May we care and share. May our lives shine like a light on a hill, and not selfishly hidden away, keeping the light from others, keeping it only for our Holy Spirit. Be amongst us all, now and evermore. Amen. Amen.